Backstage with Mothership on Solid Rock Radio begins now. Hear the best in new music, artist interviews, stories from the road, and more. You are now backstage, and here's your host, Mothership.
Hey everybody, Forsaken Hero has just released their new album, Questions and Answers, The Stages of Belief. So it was time for me to catch up with my friend, Casey Price, to hear more about it.
Casey, I don't think we've talked to each other since the pandemic. Interview-wise.
The last time we talked was like right after the Grizzlies, I think.
Wow. So tell me, who's in Forsaken Hero now, and what's going on with the band?
So right now, Forsaken Hero, for the last couple of years, it's always been myself and my sister Emily Price, but over the last couple of years, we've had some brothers join the band. Like, each one joined as another person left. Like, we got this guy named David Collins to be our drummer, and then right after that, one of our guitar players was leaving, so his brother Marcus became our guitar player, and then our bass player was leaving shortly after that, so then suddenly their brother Matthew became our bass player and piano player, and so it's me and my sister, and then these three brothers, the Collins brothers, so it's David, Marcus, and Matthew, and they've been playing music with us for a couple years now.
We always say we're a family band, but yeah, but Matthew, who plays bass and keys for us, he actually has started producing his own stuff, and so we collaborated a little bit, so it's really helped in the collaborative process, because they all still live at home and live in the same house, so they're able to like record stuff in his studio and bounce it to mine and everything. And he actually produced the song Never Gonna Stop that's on the album that Emily wrote. He actually produced that one for us, which was a lot of fun working on that.
Is there more people in that family that might want to join the band later?
I think that's about it for them. Their dad kind of plays a bit, but he's kind of old school rock. He would just beg us to play Petra covers all day if he was in the band.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Speaking of Petra,
John did some stuff in his studio for you, right?
When we were first starting out, he mastered a couple of our songs, like a couple years back.
And then you also have worked with Rico Thomas of New Song.
Yeah. We're still close friends, and we hang out anytime we can. I haven't been to Nashville a lot recently, but the last time we hung out was at the Winter Jam earlier this year. But yeah, he's a good friend and has always helped me anytime I had any questions with music stuff and things like that.
Well, tell us what's new with Forsaken Hero.
Well, earlier this year, we signed a record deal with Tone Crash Records, our friends in We Are Called. They got the record label from whoever owned it before, I guess, and have restarted it. I think originally bands like Finding Favor and bands like that were discovered by this label, and so this label's kind of coming back out again, and we were signed as one of the first bands on it. So the owner of that label, he's actually been my writing partner, DJ Lasembi. He's written a lot of songs with me over the years, and so now that he started this label, we went ahead and joined, and he helped mix and master most of the songs on the album. But when we came out with this album, we were just writing songs here and there about how we were feeling, and it just kind of became this feeling of like we had a lot of questions for God in the last couple of years, and we were searching for the answers, and that's kind of why the album eventually became what we titled it, Questions and Answers, The Stages of Belief. It's a roller coaster ride of emotions up and down. You have these high worship songs, it's like, yes, I love you, God, but then I suddenly have a song about my wife and I going through a miscarriage last year and saying, like, you know, God, why did this happen? Why did you let this happen? I thought you had these great plans for me, and I thought this was going to be our chance to become parents now, and then suddenly we're just in a hospital, and I'm like, why are we in this place? So the album kind of goes up and down through the questions of life and learning, you know, that the Christian walk isn't a perfect road, that we will deal with a lot of different things along the way, but that God is with us through our pain. And he never promised that we wouldn't feel pain, but he promised that he'd be there with us. And that's kind of the journey of the album, is going through those moments.
Well, I'm very sorry for your loss. I've been there too. That's a tough journey.
Yeah, it's a very hard thing to go through. If you haven't been through it, you don't realize how tough of a process it is in the emotional and mental journey it takes you through. And not even to say, you know, what my wife went through. I went through it emotionally. She had to go through it physically as well. Mm-hmm. So it was a hard time, but we know God has other plans. And that's what the song says to it at the end. Mm-hmm. I say, you know, at the end of the song, I say, you know, I know you're here with me. I get lost in the dark sometimes. I'm just trying to find your light. And I know you're eventually going to fill her womb. I know you're going to fulfill that promise that we've had our whole lives of wanting to be parents one way or another. So even though the album and that song specifically have dark moments, there's still light at the end of all those tunnels. And that's kind of what we wanted to convey with the album.
You've been nominated for some awards. Tell us about that.
Yeah, in 2021, we were nominated for a Dove Award for our song Drop Your Chains, which was one of the first collaborations we did with the band We Are Called and DJ Lasembi. And so we were nominated in the first round of voting for that. And then this year, we were nominated for three different songs off the album, actually. We were nominated for Never Gonna Stop, You Are the Light, and our song Reliable featuring Neon Feather. And so we were nominated in the first round of voting, so that's where all the industry people vote and everything. And then it goes on to the second round when the public can vote, and we didn't make it into the second round because a lot of times when you get into the industry vote, it's like all the record labels are voting for their artists and stuff. So if you're not a super well-known name, it's kind of hard to, you know, cut through the noise there. But we were nominated for those. And then I think last year we were nominated for a WVIU Radio Award, and we just got nominated for Reliable this year. And I think voting is open right now for that. They do an award ceremony every year for like indie artists or up and coming artists. And so we're nominated for our song Reliable for that.
Congratulations. That's amazing. You come a long way. You really have.
Well, thank you so much. I just trucking along over the years.
Started out with that skillet sound.
Yeah, we were trying to be the next skillet for sure.
And you matured, you've grown. You think you finally are where you want Forsaken Hero to be?
I'm sure there's always more growing that can be done. But I mean, musically, I think we're in the sweet spot that I really like. I like the music that we record and make right now because it's songs that can appeal to a lot of people, but they're still fun to play live, and we can rock them up more live and still dance around and have a good time and rock out. But we can appeal to the hearts of young people and old people at the same time. We have like a very broad fan base now, which I really like that our music appeals to a lot of different people and not just one genre of rock music.
Yeah, well, speaking of skillet, that was on your bucket list to get to play at an event at the same place that Skillet's played. Has that happened yet?
Yes. Yeah, it happened last year. We got to play Life Fest with Skillet and For King and Country and all of them. And that was a lot of fun getting to play Life Fest in Wisconsin. There was a lot of cheese. There was cheese everywhere, but it was a lot of fun playing in Wisconsin. Hopefully we can go back. We didn't really do a lot of festivals this year because we were so busy with the album. We missed a lot of the sign-up dates for them, so we didn't get to do Life Fest this year. But it was a blast doing it with being able to like play earlier in the day and then go see Skillet and be like, and then see it on the t-shirt. So that was pretty neat having our name be right there beside them. And I think since we last talked, I got to work during the pandemic. They were doing the tour of the drive-ins when they couldn't go into bigger venues. And they had Skillet had signed up to do the drive-in tours. And I was like,
oh my gosh, I need to get Skillet involved with this. So I kept messaging Skillet's people and talking with them and then talking with the drive-in in my area and getting in touch with the people over the drive-ins.
And I got to be like their official runner for the show. I did a lot of different drive-in shows, but that was the one that was the important one for me, is that the band that I traveled so far to see many times over the years growing up was suddenly in my hometown, not even 300 feet from the apartments I grew up in. Like, I lived right over the hill from the drive-in movie theater. So then suddenly having Skillet basically in my backyard was insane. And then they played in Virginia the next day, and I got to be the runner for that. And they had redone all of Jen's drum heads for that night and had all autographed one of her toms. And I realized, like, this is the drum head that she played in my town at the show that I helped make happen. And they've all autographed it. It has the tour date on it. It has everything on it. I was like, I must have this. So I ended up talking to Tate Olson at the end. I waited until the end of the night to make sure no fans would actually buy it. And I talked to him and asked him if he would sell it to me and everything, because he was about to pack it up. I was like, you mind if I just go ahead and grab that? I was like, I really feel like I want that. And then knowing Tate Olson, you know, him playing on some of our music and stuff, being the cello player for Skillet was a big deal. So I was like, hey, how about you go ahead and sign it too? So it's hanging up right behind me in the studio here.
So you've done it, all three.
Yep. I've got the full trifecta from my childhood. 15-year-old me would be happy.
Very good. Way to grab your dreams, man. Have you got another dream now?
Now that I've become a producer as well, producing other artists, my big dream is to, within the next couple of years, be credited and also be an artist split, like getting royalties and stuff from over 100 songs from other artists. I'm about, like, if you include our music and the artists I've worked with, I'm about close to halfway there now. So that's really cool, because I'd like to have like over 100 songs from my band and other artists that I've helped contribute to make music happen. So I think that that's like my big goal right now as a producer and a musician.
That's doable.
I mean, we're working on songs all the time. I'm working with like 4 different artists right now, aside from our band, because we're pretty much done making new music right now, because we were like, we're going to do a 10-song album and then just take a break for a bit. But we do have ideas for the future. We have an idea of a EP that we might go and like stay in a cabin for 2 weeks and just make up 5 songs on the spot and record them there and send them off. And we've talked to some different people about that. So that's an idea for the future, but nothing that's fully materialized yet. So right now I'm just mostly working with other artists at the moment, helping them kind of craft their visions. And I'm working with a lot of people who don't actually play any instruments and stuff. So that's really interesting. Like, they'll send me a voice recording of just their idea, and then I completely compose the music around it for them, and then they go to a studio somewhere if they're not local, because I work with people in like Texas and different places, and they'll go to a studio somewhere and track their vocals, and then we'll send it off. And that's a really neat process too, is being able to work with people all over the country making music.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the album that just released in August.
Yeah, for sure. The album, it's just like I said before, it's just kind of a heart's cry of trying to figure out where we're going through different things. Like, there's the song God Doesn't Care, which I wrote from kind of a place of anger and being upset, because I had so many friends that would come to me that weren't saved and say, you know, hey, I tried to go to this church this week, and I could tell that the people just were looking at me because of the way my hair was, or the tattoos on my skin, or the way I was dressed, and I just didn't feel welcome there. And I've just, growing up in the South, I grew up so much with people saying, you know, you had to dress a certain way to go to church. You had to look a certain way. You had to tithe a certain amount of money to truly love God, and all these crazy things. And so that's where the song came from, because I was just like, you're getting stuck on too many things.
That these are the things that God cares about. He cares about our hearts and getting us into church and getting us plugged in and helping us be the body of Christ to grow and be stronger and be more loving.
And that was another thing. Like, I would have friends say, well, I'm not going to come to church till I'm a little bit better, till I'm a little bit closer to God, I'll come back to church. And I'm like, church is not a place where you're supposed to be at the pinnacle of success and godliness. Church is supposed to be a hospital for the broken, like the Matthew West song says. Then you said the church should look more like a hospital. So that's kind of where that came from. It was just like, God doesn't care about this stuff. He cares about people's hearts. He doesn't care about what shape or size the earth is. He doesn't care about how old it is. He already knows. We're getting lost in all of these different debates, and we're losing souls. We're not out there doing the Great Commission and helping people find Christ by getting lost in the minutiae of these things. So that's where that song came from, and I think a lot of people have really connected with it. My sister wasn't a huge fan of the song when we first wrote it. She said it was kind of not her vibe, and she wasn't sure how it would go live. She told me it wouldn't do really well, and we did it at Kingdom Come Fest, and by the end of the song, like, people were like screaming out, God doesn't care, like at the parts when we hit the big moments in the song. So I was like, well, I guess the song's here to stay, Emily. That's the one thing about being siblings in a band, is people probably don't tell you how much little bickering there is behind the scenes, because that's just how it is. You're siblings, you're going to fight and stuff. But at the end of the day, I think it makes better music that way too, because we're challenging each other and things like that. You Are the Light is another one that a lot of people are seem to be fans of. It is, because it's like the, we praise you, you are the light. It's a very easy song to remember and sing and to catch on to. And so a lot of people seem to really like that live. And that's a really fun one. It's probably the most rocked up song on the album, because it has a big guitar solo and stuff in it. And we did a music video for it. One of my favorite songs on the album, though, is we had 9 songs finished, and I was co-writing a song with another artist that I'd been working with. It, I really love his music, and I wanted him on our album, and it just didn't work out within the time frame that I needed, because I really wanted the album to be out by the end of May. I was like, maybe we can still co-write a song later, but I'm gonna have to figure something else out for right now. And I went through demos that I had made in 2020 before the pandemic, before we worked on quarantine tapes. Because once the pandemic happened, I just kind of put those songs aside and started working on the quarantine tapes and music that we did. But I found this one called Reason that was like kind of just like an acoustic and a little bit of drums going on, a very simple kind of song. But I really liked the vibe of it, because it was like, I will raise my voice in the midst of my despair. I will sing your praise because I know that you still care and you're right there. Like, it was very sing-songy, but like really punchy in the meaning and the purpose of the song. So I took it and kind of turned it into more of a big band song. It has a lot of guitars and drums in it, and it even has like strings, and we even had Harry, my wife, played trombone on it. And one of my old special needs clients I used to work with, his sister came and played trombone on it because she's playing trombone in high school right now in the high school band. So I know she's been working really hard on it. So I surprised her and let her come to the studio and record some trombone on the song. So that may be my favorite song on the album. It was kind of a last minute addition. It wasn't even, it was like, oh, we need to add this last minute thing. And then it just became so much fun. We all just had a lot of fun working on it and creating it together. And then one of the earlier songs that came out was the song Just Our Beginning for God So Loved Me. It's my love song to my wife that I wrote after our first year anniversary. It's very mushy and lovey-dovey, but I'm hoping that it eventually becomes a big popular wedding song one day. I'm hoping it'll catch on and become something like that. I try to, every now and then, I think about slipping it in at weddings, like because my wife and I DJ weddings on the side. Well, I say on the side, but we do it almost every weekend now. So it's a main thing right at the moment right now, because we've apparently gotten pretty popular doing it, and everybody keeps booking us to do weddings every weekend. So we're planning on going to Paris next year. So that's what I'm using to pay for the Paris trip. I'm just like, yeah, we'll keep DJing weddings. That's fine. But I try to slip it in when I can, because I'm like, this needs to be a wedding song. People need to have this song at their weddings. That's what it's for. But yeah, there's a lot of songs on the album that are just very important to me. It's hard to pick a favorite. I think Reason might be one of my top favorites. I don't know if it is my favorite, because I could in a couple weeks go find a different favorite. I don't know.
Tell me about Reliable.
So Reliable, a couple years ago, we had the song I Will on our Anthem album. And a guy named Neon Feather had just done Toby Mac's Element song that was originally produced by Tommy Prophet, but who does NF's music and all that. Neon Feather took it and made a remix of it for Toby Mac's remix album, and he put Jen Ledger on it. And they did that version at the Dove Awards, and I really enjoyed it. And I messaged him and just like, hey, do you work with other artists outside of like people like Toby Mac and stuff? And he's like, absolutely. And I was like, well, I have this song called I Will that is the last song that came off our last album, and I'd love to have it remixed. And he did it, and I really loved the remix, and it became one of our, it is our, still to this day, our most streamed song at the moment. It's the one that's about to hit 100,000 streams. And so when we were talking about this album, I hit him back up, and I was like, hey, is there anything else you'd like to do with this? And he's like, well, I'd really love to like write a song with you guys. And so we were like, okay. And so a couple months later, he sent us the music with the chorus already figured out, and then said, I've already got this really cool idea. I had it for a different artist, but that didn't work out. So I think it would really work for you guys. What do you think? And we were like, we love it. And we instantly had ideas for it, and we wrote verses for it, and sent it back. And he's like, yeah, I really feel like this song fits you guys better anyway. This is really like your guys' song. And so we kept tinkering with it, and we recorded the vocals for it in my studio and sent it to him, and he did all the music. We didn't actually do any of the music elements on it. So that was funny when it came to like playing it live. We actually had to learn our own song, because we didn't actually help write any of the music for it. He's totally the musician on the song. We just wrote the vocals for it. But so that's how that song came to be. And then we released it as our most recent radio single, and it's done decently okay with radio. I mean, if I'm being honest, it hasn't done as good as I hoped it would. We have one more email blast that we can send out to radio soon. So hopefully that can pick up some steam. But just that's the thing with Christian radio. There's so many songs come out, and it's so easy to get lost in the noise. And when it comes to radio, like the big artists in Christian music are, they're spending thousands of dollars a week on radio and like radio promoters and stuff. And, you know, when you're a smaller band, you just don't have that to spend, and it's hard to get noticed. So we take what we can get when it comes to that sort of thing. And we really love all the internet radio stations that play our music. They're the ones that are actually promoting us and playing our music, and they deserve all the love. They definitely deserve more recognition than they get, because they're playing a lot of independent artist music and getting them out there into the world. And it's really helpful and a really important thing. But Reliable is definitely a song that's important to us, and we can tell that people really enjoy it live, because it's just kind of an anthem that people can easily sing along with. But yeah, it was fun working on that one with my sister, because it was such a different thing where we just kind of handed off the reins of the music and just had to work on the vocals, which was kind of neat, just kind of getting to sit back and work more easily on that one, whereas I'm normally pouring 80% of everything into all the other songs.
Well, how is Emily?
She's doing really well. She's just staying busy, because that's her big dream, is she's always wanted to go to Paris. So we're really trying hard to plan a Paris trip for
this upcoming summer. I know you said she loves to travel.
Yeah, she loves to travel. She was in Africa for one of her friends' weddings a while back, and she goes to Texas all the time to visit our friends down there. and she just travels as much as she can. But Paris has been her number one, and so we're planning a trip, hopefully this upcoming summer, to go to Paris. So it's going to be a busy time, though, because we're going to land on Paris's Independence Day. But we'll get to see fireworks from the Eiffel Tower, so that'll be crazy. But yeah, and then it's like 2 weeks before the Olympics, I think, a week or two before the Olympics. So it'll be a wild time. But I care about it because I'm a Disney nut, as you know, and I go to all the Disney parks, mm-hmm. and they have Disneyland Paris. And so I'm very excited to go there. They have the Avengers campus that's only at Disneyland in California and Paris. But Paris, they took out the Aerosmith roller coaster and turned it into an Iron Man roller coaster. And so I'm really excited to try that because they don't have that in California, because that sounds like a lot of fun.
What is your favorite part about what you're doing, this line of work, this music thing?
My favorite part, honestly, is just getting to work with all kinds of different people of different walks of life who have different spins on the music they're making. Like just getting to work with friends making my music, or getting to work with artists who don't play instruments and are trying to write music. Helped write a song with an artist who's blind, who I've been working with. Her band name is Echoing Sunset. It's just a really big blessing to work with so many different people.
What's your favorite project you've worked on so far?
I would still probably have to say this album we just finished, just because my big goal when I was right out of high school was to release an album, and we released like a 10 or 12 song album, and that we had self-done. And it was, I mean, it's your first album. It's going to be garbage if you're just doing it by yourself. And it was. And but getting to do this new album, and actually still, even though I produced this one as well, most of it, but that I actually know what I'm doing now, because I've learned from Josiah Prince, different people like that, and getting to work with friends on it, and getting to just create a full, because like before that, all of our other ones were little 5 to 6 song EPs. And so to actually do a full 10 song album and tell a story across an album was a really special experience over the last 2 years, writing it and recording it. And it was a lot of hard work and a lot of hard days doing it, because there's a lot of times you just kind of wanted to beat your head up against the wall, because you're just like, is this thing ever going to finish? Is it ever going to come out? But once it actually comes out and you have it in your hand, and I was talking about someone this earlier that I was telling, that I was doing the podcast. I was like, well, I'll get you a copy of the CD if you want it. He's like, well, I got Spotify. And I'm like, yeah, me too. I don't listen to CDs either, but we have CDs for some reason. And then I was thinking about that more. I'm like, I don't use CDs anymore, but there's still something about holding that physical CD in my hand and going like, this is something I created. Brad, when it just drops on the internet, it's just there. And I still utilize that, and I use Spotify for everything, but it's still, there's something when it's your own music, when you actually hold it in your hand, just that tangible feeling of like, this is something I poured my heart into. It's cool to have, and it probably makes me sound like old saying that, but I still like having those. I know I'm gonna frame it and put it up on my wall and all that with my other song, like CDs and stuff that I've worked on. But yeah.
Well, people that have not heard you yet, tell them what your musical style is.
The closest thing that I would say is it's like Christian contemporary pop rock. So some songs can be totally CCM radio sounding, and then some songs still have that rocking vibe to them that has guitar solos. But the big thing is, in the last couple of years, we've gotten really synth heavy. So we've got a lot more like synthesizer stuff, type stuff in our music. I would say that even though I'm a guitar player live and everything in the studio, I probably play more keys than anything now, because there's just so many different sounds you can make a keyboard make these days with MIDI controllers and everything. And so our music is just very kind of synthetic poppy now, but it still has that rock element, because we still want to have the rocking guitars and stuff. And sometimes we tone it down in the mixes, but live we're still rocking out and we're still jumping around and having a good time. So we're a little bit of everything within the realm of worshiping God.
What do you hope people will take away from your music?
I hope people will find that we are just, you know, broken people that are reaching out to God and hoping that he reaches back. We're like little kids that are holding out our hands, wanting our dad to pick us up. We're just little kids wanting dad to give us love and affection. That's what our music is. It's just saying, God, we love you. Can you please just be here with us? And I hope that other people feel that, and that it helps them feel closer to God when they hear our songs, that they can have a relationship with him, and that God is greater than all of our struggles. And like the song Reliable says, you know, that even in the darkest of times, he is always reliable and always here for us, and that he's walking with us.
Amen. You got any interesting stories from the road that you'd like to share?
This one always comes to mind. And I feel really bad saying, I don't know if I should say it, but you know chaotic resemblance, right?
Oh, I know chaotic. Yes, okay. Very well.
So when we were, I think it was in 2020, our drummer David had broke his leg right before Kingdom Come Fest, but he swore that he really wanted to play it still. So we made it happen. We rented a bigger vehicle and stuff so that he could like lay out in the back. And because it was like the foot that you would normally use like for the hi-hat and stuff, not his bass drum. So he was able to still play. But he was in a wheelchair. But when we had gotten to the show, we had laid out a cot for him and he was just hanging out on a cot. And his brother, the guitar player, was just being goofy and was just riding around in the grass field on his wheelchair, just goofing off. And Chaotic Resemblance like walked up to him and they're like, "Hey, brother, we just saw you rolling around in this wheelchair and we just wanted to say a prayer for you. And we just pray for God's healing on you." And he didn't know what to say. So he was just like, "Oh, okay, that's fine." And so they earnestly prayed for him and everything. And they really earnestly prayed for him. And I'm sure that there was something he needed prayer for. So it was fine. There's nothing's wrong there, but he got really embarrassed after that. It was just, it's just something that always cracks me up when I think about it.
They jump up out of the chair. "I'm healed. I'm healed."
Yeah, he is the kind of guy that would do something like that, goofy like that. But he was just too caught off in the moment. He's like, "Man, these are just the nicest guys in the world." And I didn't know what to say to them. So I just let them pray for me.
Yeah.
And so I don't even know if I've told them that story, but it just cracks me up every time I think about it.
Well, they're going to find out now because I'm telling them.
Yeah. Yeah. The world's going to hear it now.
Yeah. They're amazing. How can your fans stay up with the band's activities?
We're on all the social medias. We post a lot of like professional looking information, I guess you'd say, on like Instagram, like more professional posts on Instagram and Facebook. But my personal Facebook is always filled with antics and everything like that. So the main things I guess you would look at is like our band Facebook or Instagram. Those are the main places to find that. But we have a website, it's ForsakenHero.com, and that should lead to all the different social medias and our merch stores and bands in town and all that. It should be a segue for all those things. And all of our music is on all the different streaming services, Spotify, Amazon, iTunes. If iTunes is still a thing, I'm not an Apple person, so I don't know anything about Apple. Whatever Apple has for music, it's there.
So we know you have hard copies of your music. What kind of shirts do you got?
We came out with a whole line of shirts for the album. So there's all kinds of different shirts and mugs and cups. And they can be found on the merch store through our website, especially if you go through Instagram and you click our link tree on the Instagram bio, that takes you to pretty much everything there. And that'll take you to the merch store. Anthony Gober does all of our, he helps us with all of our merch stuff as he does with a lot of different Christian bands. And so there's a lot of other different cool Christian band shirts there too, where our merchandise is. But we have all kinds of shirts, hoodies. I think there's posters and blankets and mugs and cups and all that different stuff. We're eventually going to have hats. We don't have hats right now, but we'll have hats one of these days.
Cool. Well, we'll also have it on our landing page for this interview on Solid Rock Radio as well.
Sweet.
What would you like to say to your fans?
Thanks for listening, and thanks for checking out this podcast. It's really cool being a part of it. I felt like I got way more bragging rights because I was on this show before John Cooper was. And I was like, "John Cooper's cool, but I was on this show before him." But then someone could spin it and go, "Well, now the podcast is famous enough to have John Cooper on it. So you were one of the beginners," kind of thing. But it's really cool being able to look people listen, see my name, and then see John Cooper and see people from Petra and all the different bands and everything. So that's really neat. So thanks for checking out the podcast, and thanks for continuing to listen to our music and continuing to support us. The album we just did was almost 80 to 90% crowdfunded from listeners. So that's a huge blessing, just having people. Like, a lot of times I don't feel like we've really made an impression on people, but then I always remember like, oh, these people are literally paying to make my music happen. So that's a really big blessing, and God is really good with that. It's a really big blessing to realize that.
You still addicted to monster drinks?
No, I am not. I gave up on all energy drinks. I gave up on all soda, and I cut out coffee about 3 months ago. So I just drink water. Every now and then I might slip back into soda or something, but for the most part, I'm just drinking water or like flavored water drinks.
Who are you, Casey Price?
I know. I'm trying to stay more healthy.
What are your favorite road snacks since they've changed, apparently?
Road snacks, I really love sunflower seeds are my main thing.
Okay.
But they're very salty, so I can't have too many of them. But I will eat a whole bag if I do get a bag. So I try to sparingly get them, but I love like cashews and pistachios, things like that. I'll still get some like gummies or chocolates or whatever, but I like a lot of the different nut varieties and things like that. Seeds and nuts, I really think are really good.
And my last question is, how is your father?
My dad is doing really good. He got his kidney transplant in June. He had been on dialysis for 6 years, and we just kept praying for him. And, you know, a lot of people were praying with him, and then just suddenly he got the okay. And then it just became such a quick process within a week. I think it was within a week or two. It was just like, he got the call. We were within 24 hours, had a new kidney. And then by the end of the week was back home. And it was just, it's crazy. And for him, it's wildly different because he's not having to go to dialysis for 5 hours, three times a week. Cause he would go for 5 hours Monday, 5 hours Wednesday, 5 hours Friday. He's doing really well. He had a couple little hiccups, but they got that stuff figured out, and he seems to be doing really good.
That's amazing. It was good to talk to you, and thank you for doing this.
Hey, well, thank you so much for having me again. I love listening to the podcast, and I love what you guys are doing, and I love being able to be a tiny part of it. I know it has a lot of listeners. I know Chad Finner's always posting about the podcast and who's on each week, so it's a cool thing, and I love the Solid Rock Radio people. They're all super nice. All right, you have a good rest of your night. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for more great music. And check out my blog page on the Solid Rock Radio website for my guests' social media links. If you've missed any of my past interviews, you can find them uploaded to podcast.solidrockradio.org. Have a wonderful week, and let's be kind to one another.